Okay, Mr. Riggs, number five.
Okay, item number five is a consideration of settlement of administrative civil liability order or complaint issued to Hague Collegian. And the story is pretty much the same as what I said in the last one, where the it was a case of erosion sediment problems from land grubbing. We issued several enforcement actions and reported back to the board and said the site was stable and that we thought the matter was closed, and the board thought administrative enforcement might be the enforcement that we had taken to try to achieve compliance was too light, and that we should issue a complaint. So we did that, and that was $25,500. Mr. Collegian has waived the hearing and has submitted a check for $5,500. And his terms for his proposed terms for payment of the balance of $20,000 was to pay that by the end of January. January 31st.
This is January 1st. Your yellow sheet says January 1st.
He proposed to pay by the 31st. The statute says that the amounts need to be payable 30 days from the date the order is issued. So the order is drafted so that it's payable on January 1st, but we won't take any enforcement or collection action if he pays by the 31st.
And A lot of the discussion that we had in the last item is applicable here, I guess, in that we tried to come up with a balance that, again, does not necessarily guarantee that we'd have a petition after a board decision and beyond. So we felt the amount here was appropriate, and consequently, since Mr. Collegian offer to settle up for this amount, then that's what we recommend.
Dr. Press.
Well, we do have cards also.
We do. Okay. Do the same three speakers wish to address us? Ms. Hetherington? Why don't you come on up, Mr. Christie? Then, Ms. Everhart, you only have item number four down. Is she still here, or is she
left? Just left. She only wanted to address Pearson because it directly affected her.
All right. You have 3 minutes.
Thank you. I won't take that long. Pam Hetherington, Executive Director of the Environmental Center. I'll just do a ditto on my comments on the Pearson property, that the fines, I think, are too low. I don't know. I don't want to claim that they're tied to staff costs, but, you know, if they're in the same ballpark, it's not putting anything back into the environment. I do understand that the money goes into a bigger pot, that it's not directed to the community, but it also gives neighborhood watershed groups a chance to participate in the granting process through the regional board in order to make, you know, the environment whole again. So I ask that you do the same deliberation on this project as you did on the previous one. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Christie.
Andrew Christie, Chapter Coordinator, Santa Lucia Chapter of the Sierra Club. I'm a little confused on the method by which the penalty was assessed between Mr. Briggs and Mr. Young. It does appear in the staff report that the only factor, despite the listed violations in arriving at that calculation, was the number of staff hours multiplied by, I believe, the factor of $75 an hour. It was something like 360 hours times 75, which came out to about $25,500. So even though all of the violations were listed and described, there was nothing in the final calculation as reported that indicated there was anything that went into that other than staff time and the reimbursement of that time. I would point out that the violators have waived their hearing and agreed to pay the pittance proposed, which is roughly the amount of a recent campaign contribution by Mr. Kalajian to the State Attorney General's 2006 gubernatorial campaign committee, because it is a pittance and it really serves as no deterrence whatsoever. It allows them to cut and run, the environmental damage to remain unaddressed, and provides no deterrence for future violations of a similar nature. I believe the board is working on one right now on the Chimney Rock Road in the Adelaide area. This board needs to make the violation under discussion the poster child for this county, put potential violators on notice that degrading our environment and putting the waters of the state at risk is not a prudent business decision and will not be tolerated by this board. The Sierra Club is asking you to reject the penalty settlement as too low, direct staff to pursue the maximum amount, and set the benchmark for the real cost of doing bad business in San Luis Obispo County. Thank you.
Question? I have a question. I understand you'd like the maximum amount, but what do you think would be an amount that would be a deterrent if you think that 25 is a slap on the wrist?
25 is a slap on the wrist. I understand there's now some question as to whether $1,895,000 is the actual maximum penalty.
I don't want to talk about maximum. I just want to talk about, according to you, what would be enough to be considered a deterrent, to be a real fine?
It may well be possible that even the maximum amount is not as official. Sufficient deterrent for the dischargers in question.
Take a number of higher than that. But what do you think is the minimum amount that would be considered a deterrent?
About
for example,
one
would 100, 200, 400,
1,895,000. 1,895,000 would be sufficient. It's enough to fund the restoration programs, habitat and reforestation that are going begging. It would actually provide some real mitigation for the damage that has been done.
And less than that, you don't think would be a deterrent?
No, less than that was, as we've said, simply reimbursing staff costs and doesn't remediate the damage that's been done.
Well, less than that could be $1,700,000. That certainly is more than staff costs.
Certainly it is up to the board to set what the correct amount should be. But
sure.
I'm saying in reading the staff report, there does not appear to be a connection, as Mr. Young, I believe, pointed out, between the violations listed and the amount that was arrived at.
I'm just trying to get from you what you think might be a deterrent amount.
I think a deterrent amount, the best possible deterrent amount in this case, would be $1,895,000.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you very much. Does anyone else in the public audience want to address us on this issue? Okay, seeing no one else, we'll close public comment. You know, I think that the issue is what is the amount to create a deterrence without being overly punitive also. I mean, there's other criteria that could be considered. For instance, how much do the properties cost? This could be a deterrent. What could be a deterrent to these property holders may not be to the next, you know, so it's really hard to get that defined. Mr. Shallcross?
Yeah, I think, and maybe that I've been trying to think of what bothers me so much about having the amount be the staff time, and I know that's not, it's a coincidence, but in a way it's not, because if the statutes say that the staff time, the reimbursing the state for the staff time is the minimum, then what staff is telling us and the discharger is that what you did out there is only worth the very minimum fine that we can impose on you. And just looking at the staff report, I certainly would like to hear from the discharger, but this doesn't seem like the very minimum fine type of scenario to me, and that's what bothers me the most.
Okay.
Whether it's based on staff time or not, it's the very minimum. And I think the minimum is just safe for people who really are sort of, yeah, they did it, but they were caught in a bad situation. Not someone who, you know, intentionally ignores the situation and has some culpability.
So. Well, perhaps the minimum should be reserved for those that don't have the degree of culpability checked off as deserving of the maximum amount.
I think the minimum might also apply to cases where there's not enough BMPs, but there actually wasn't any erosion.
Right.
In this case, They didn't have the BMPs, and there was erosion. There was actual damage. So
right.
I don't think that's minimum either.
Dr. Press? Now,
I want to point out on page 2 of the staff report a reminder that an ACL was issued in November of 2002 for $75,000, and it was withdrawn. And I only raised that to say that at that instant, a different sum was calculated. So it is very difficult to calculate. At that instant, it seemed reasonable to impose 3 times the amount, and I'm not sure why it wouldn't seem reasonable to do so right now. Again, more cause for a hearing or for a different calculus, that's all.
Well, and at that point in time, staff costs were lower. So would it actually have been more than 4 times?
Okay. Yeah. Well, anyway, I would like to enter an identical motion as the last time, which was to reject this particular settlement.
Mr. Daniels.
I would like to heartily enter my second.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Briggs.
I failed to point out the correspondence that we had on this one, which is very similar to, in some cases, identical to what we had in the last item. But we do have a different letter. There's a supplemental sheet, which I read from, which has the terms of proposed settlement. And then there's a letter from Mr. Collegian dated November 23rd. And since that was just handed to you, I'll point out that he's saying that he was requesting payment terms because of numerous year end expenses and the significant sums already spent in mitigation. As he has explained to me, this ranch was purchased for his family's future use. Because he resides out of the area, he relied upon the advice and guidance of others, always believing that the activities were properly done in light of fire safety and increasing the grazing capacity of the land. When concerns were later raised, I believe that those individuals and firms were timely and appropriately responding to the regional board's concerns. As you know, any problems are now corrected, a very significant expense to my family and me. Please be assured that I'm taking steps to guarantee that in the future I will work with agents and firms who will better be able to communicate with the regional board and avoid any potential problems and perform to the satisfaction of the regional board and the staff. Very truly yours, High Collegian. And then, again, a letter from Mr. Walter representing him, which is very similar to the letter that was sent on the previous item. However, this one reiterates the terms that Mr. Collegian was proposing. And then the two letters that we copied for you from the Sierra Club and from Mr. Patterson are identical to the previous item.
Okay, we have a motion that has been seconded. Any other discussion before we vote? Dr. Bowker?
I just had a question. Maybe it's not an appropriate question. Are these two items connected in some way, given that they have the same attorney and they were within, 5 sections of each other, geologically, geographically?
Well, there's some obvious parallels, but they're separate cases and they're separate items in our agenda, and we're treating them as separate items. Obviously, there are some connections that are pretty obvious by the same personnel being involved.
I think in light, if I just carry on, in terms of, because of the similarity, in terms of consistency, there really isn't, I have no option but to vote not to accept it.
Okay.
One question of staff. Is there any difference in the damage done on these two items, 4 and 5? Or was the damage that occurred pretty much the same?
Well, the two sites were different. As I said, no two sites are the same. Even though Dr. Bowker was talking about parallels between the two, there were some very significant differences here. I don't know, as far as damages, maybe Bruce Payne would like to address that question. Just quickly, the differences between the two.
I mean, was one worse than the other?
My name is Bruce Payne. I'm a member of the regional board staff. The two sites differed even though they were neighboring sites, actually quite a bit. Mr. Pearson's site had the much more radical terrain, 30 to 75% slopes, and very shallow soils, 14 to 16 inches on top of weathered granite. He had no meadow type areas at the base. These canyons just went straight down and into water conveyance, the Blue Line Stream as we refer to it. Whereas, and he grubbed only 40 acres of his property. Mr. Collegian, on the other hand, grubbed 200 acres, but his terrain wasn't as radical overall. He had some areas that were as radical with the very steep 70-75% slope and similar soils, but he also had gentler slopes and areas that could possibly be defined as meadows. And he had more topsoil. And the topsoil appears to have some nutrient value, or at least more so than Mr. Pearson's, because the revegetation was much more rapid, much more dense. The other thing that we took into consideration with the Mr. Pearson site is that he had the documents in the form of a mitigated negative deck from the county, along with the report from the NRCS that discussed in detail the concerns for erosion and potential impacts on receiving waters. Does that help?
Yeah. I'm just trying to figure out how we got to the exact same amount on both items.
Well, there were compensating factors, as Bruce is saying. You got lesser problems probably resulting from Collegian's property with a rapid revegetation, but on the other hand, many more acres.
Okay.
And well,
that sounds reasonable. And was the staff time the same on both items?
I guess we calculated it to be the same.
Okay.
Correct.
Any other board comments or discussion before we vote? Okay, let's have a vote. All those in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries unanimously. All right. Do we want to go right to 5A? Do we want to